Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Firstsource Solutions Limited Q4 FY16 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ganesh Iyer, Head Strategy and Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Iyer.
Thank you, Margaret. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Q4 and full year ended March 31st, 2016 earnings call for Firstsource. Please note that the results, fact sheet, and the presentation has been mailed to you. You can also view this on our website, www.firstsource.com. To take us to the results and to answer your questions today, we have with us our MD and CEO, Mr. Rajesh Subramaniam, and Mr. Dinesh Jain, who is the CFO. We shall be starting this call with a brief presentation providing an overview of the company's performance, followed by a Q&A session. I would like to remind you that everything that is said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future or which can be constituted as a forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with the uncertainties and risks that we face. These are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in a prospectus filed with SEBI and the subsequent annual report that you can find on our website. With that said, I would now turn the call over to Mr. Rajesh Subramaniam, our MD and CEO.
Thanks, Ganesh. Hello, everybody. Thanks for your time today on our call. I'll take you through our highlights and then we'll open up for Q&A. Q4 FY16, our operating revenues came in at 873 crores compared to 754 crores in Q4 last year, and 817.8 crores in Q3 FY16. The quarter-on-quarter growth is 6.8% in rupee terms and 6.9% in constant currency terms. Year-on-year growth of 16% in rupee terms and 10.2% in constant currency terms. Our Q4 operating EBIT at 101.5 crores compared to 81.3 in the same period last year, and 84.5 crores in the previous quarter, demonstrating a quarter-on-quarter growth of 20.1% with a margin expansion of 130 basis points from 10.3 to 11.6%. Year-on-year growth of 25%, margin expansion by 80 basis points from 10.8 to 11.6%. At the net profit after tax level, Q4 came in at 79.7 crores compared to 62.3 crores in the same period last year and 67 crores in the prior sequential quarter. Quarter-on-quarter growth of 18.8% and a margin expansion of just under 1%, to be precise, 90 basis points from 8.2 to 9.1%. Year-on-year growth, net profit grew by 27.9% with an 86 basis points increase from 8.26 to 9.16%. Some of the other operating statistics, employee strength of 23,886 employees on 31st March 2016 and seat capacity of 23,096 worldwide. 45 delivery centers compared to 46 in the same period last year. 14,051 employees in India and 9,835 employees based outside India. Largely flat, a small reduction of 32 employees in Q4. Seat fill factor improved by 170 basis points at 68% compared to 66.3% in the same period last year. Offshore attrition increased to 56.7% compared to 44.7%. Onshore largely flat at 43.5% and a spike in the domestic attrition to 85.1% compared to 65.2% in Q3 of FY16. Cash and debt position, cash and cash equivalents of 145.7 crores compared to 153.8 crores. We repaid our fourth installment of 11.25 million and we had capex spend of about 17.8 crores. We also had, you will be aware that we had signed definitive agreements to acquire ISGN while the closing process is underway, we have to extend support to help scale and stabilize that business between signing and closing. So that also had a $2 million reduction in cash. Currently, a net long-term debt of $87 million as of March 31st, 2016. On our foreign exchange hedges, outstanding hedges are $34 million for the US dollar and £47 million. Next 12 months, 86% coverage for the USD at 69.5 levels and 78% coverage for the pound at 112 levels. And 13% coverage between the pound and the Filipino peso at 74.1 levels and 12% coverage for the dollar Filipino peso at 48.2. For the next 12 to 24 months, the succeeding 12 to 24 months, 39% coverage on the USD to the rupee at 73.2 and 54% coverage for the pound to the rupee at 112.5. On a full year basis, our FY16 revenues came in at 3,230.3 crores compared to 3,034.7 crores in FY15. In rupee terms, the growth was 6.4% and 2% in constant currency terms. The constant currency number would have been higher by 2% more, but for some of the scale downs we saw in our domestic business, where almost $4.5 million of business was ratcheted down. From an operating EBIT perspective, FY16 EBIT at 338.6 crores compared to 308.6 crores, 10% growth year-on-year and a margin expansion of 31 basis points to 10.17%, from 10.17 to 10.48%. Net profit after tax at 265 crores compared to 234.3, 13.1% growth year-on-year and a margin expansion of just under 50 basis points to 8.2%. From a mix of how we derive our business and our footprint of people, revenue by geography, North America continues to be our largest geography, 54.5% in Q4 compared to 52.6% in the preceding quarter, largely aided by the collection seasonality impact that we see in Q4. From a vertical perspective, healthcare continues to be our largest vertical at 38.2%, followed by 35.8% from the T&M vertical. But you would see a step up in BFSI at 25.6, a function of the banking deal in the UK and collection seasonality in the US. Revenue by delivery location, onshore 74.1%, offshore 19.5%, and the domestic business at 6.4% compared to 7.9% in Q4 of last year. And 6.9% in Q3. So the delta between 7.9 to 6.4 represents some of the ratchet down that I spoke about earlier. Top client at 20.7% compared to 23.2%. The contribution has been flat. While the percentages show lower, it's the contribution of the largest client has been flat. And obviously we have had other businesses grow, combination of seasonality and the ramps, which were the cost of growth of ramps translating into revenues in Q4. From an FY16 perspective, North America significant ratchet up from 49.2% to 54.5%, largely on the growth of our healthcare vertical and, of course, collection seasonality, and our large telco client, which scaled up last year, and the UK also grew 35.9 to 37.4, and you see the significant ratchet down of India and rest of the world between 14.9% and 8.1%. The 14.9 also included the business we had in the Republic of Ireland, which was consolidated out in FY15. From a delivery location perspective, 72% onshore compared to just under 67%, and domestic is 7% compared to 8.3%. Revenue, you know, from a vertical perspective, 16 saw the emergence of healthcare as the larger vertical compared to last year. Last year, telecoms and media was 42.5% and was the alpha vertical. This year it is healthcare just under 39% and telecoms and media at 37.3% and BFSI climbing from 21.5% to 23.7%. Revenue by client concentration, you know, largely aligned to our business mix and demonstrating, you know, steady performance by our largest client. The next slide, 11, is a tabular representation of the summary. No specific call-outs here, apart from the fact that deleveraging, which results in lower interest cost, has been largely eaten up by higher taxation. So, you know, taxes have increased in Q4 and in FY16, which represents, you know, some of the tax regime the CFO had guided to in the earlier calls. So overall, it's been a satisfactory quarter and clearly a quarter where we believe that the momentum on growth is back and sets us up well looking at FY17 and beyond. Again, from an FY16 perspective, no specific call-outs, 2% constant currency growth and a net profit margin expansion of 50 basis points. We still see leverage in our business, which will be evident once we demonstrate growth in FY17. From a business outlook perspective, as I mentioned earlier, FY16 growth was lower than guidance due to a 200 basis point reduction in our domestic business and a 200 basis point reduction in the challenges we faced in scaling up our U.S. telecom client. That's behind us, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions on how we look at you know, the next year playing out. Healthcare, BFSI, and the media segment specifically to aid growth traction. Pipeline is robust. The quality of deals that are awaiting decisions is very high, and we are confident of a likely share of wins this year. Confident about achieving growth in FY17, Q1 will clearly demonstrate the year-on-year growth profile that sets us up very well for the coming year. The ISGN deal is expected to close in the coming weeks. We are awaiting regulatory clearances from some of the states in North America where a change of control necessitates new licensing requirements. The key factors, macroeconomic and then some specific to the company, which would be interesting and which we are watching keenly, is around the U.S. elections and the Brexit outcome. You know, we have our own thesis on how the impact would be on our business on the various scenarios of the outcomes. The domestic business continues to face headwinds. You know, it is a risk factor. Last year, $4.5 million was taken out. This year, there could be, you know, certain headwinds that could see, you know, a small ratchet in the business. There could also be growth from some of our existing clients. This is a business I'd like to call out separately and ensure that, you know, all of you have a fair understanding of you know, the rhythm of this business and how it impacts our overall guidance going forward. We continue to build our differentiation in our offerings, the leverage we have of analytics embedded in our core productized offerings is paying off. the kind of deal pipeline that we're building in our customer interaction management services business, in the healthcare business, leveraging our Arrowheads is clearly playing out. Our recent wins in the UK and in the US clearly demonstrate that the investments we've made over the last couple of years clearly is starting to pay off. Nothing more beyond these. Our debt repayments continue as per plan, and the balance sheet leverage will continue through FY17 and beyond. So that's it, from an update perspective. I'm happy to take it back to the moderator to open it up to the Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handset mode while asking your question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Priya Rohira from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations to the management team on a great execution in fourth quarter. My first question relates to the macro environment, Rajesh, which you outlined, in terms of you having your own set of propositions and how it will impact the business. And given that scenario, you know, what sort of growth we are looking in for FY17? We had a strong fourth quarter, which is a good exit. What sort of, you know, revenue growth or margins you're looking for?
No, absolutely. Let me start with the macro environment. I think the two clear elements, one would be known over the next couple of months would be on Brexit and where the UK stands on the referendum of whether being in the EU or not. I think that given our footprint in the UK and the offshore presence we have, the clear outcome is that if the UK leaves the EU, obviously the pound sterling will depreciate, which will obviously have an impact on our business. And if it doesn't, then obviously it goes in the alternate direction, which is very good for our business. So it's pretty, simple binary outcome. At least the impact of an exit in the short term obviously will have some consequences. But our forward covers, we have a 24-month rolling forward cover, so to a certain extent, we have mitigants in place. U.S. elections, too early to call. Obviously, if it goes in one direction, current reform mandates continue. If it goes in the other direction, there is a lot of noise around, repealing some of the elements of the healthcare reform act and stuff like that. So that's something which has a more longer-term implication, which we will we see how it plays itself out. So as far as the company is concerned, Priya, I think, as I said, we did have some setbacks last year. Our largest U.S. telecom client, our domestic business, and everything else. But the quality of deals that we have won, the quality of revenues that we will demonstrate, the seamless integration of ISGN and the early green shoots of how we will be able to scale the other complementary businesses that FirstSource brings into the ISGN framework. We're already seeing momentum on those. Very, very confident and positive about where FY17 will end. The deal pipeline on some very key strategic deals are looking good. Our negotiations with our largest client is proceeding in absolutely the right direction. Overall, the UK market across media and banking is looking extremely positive. And the healthcare segment is looking extremely positive based on what we see, which is continuing from where it was last year, specifically on the payer side. The collections business will see a good year. We've signed up into a new into a new business area around student loans. A huge segment. It takes a long time to get into that segment, but once you get in, the opportunity is huge. So we definitely see positive tailwinds from that part of the world. So yeah, overall, I think FY17 will be a very positive year.
Any quantitative direction, like you would want to go higher than the NASCOM average or on the deal pipeline? Q3 you ended at around $370 million. So any quantitative colors on either of the two things would be helpful.
Yeah, the pipeline is largely static, but there have been some of the deals which have moved to a lot more higher level of maturity. So there are a couple of deals that will come up for decision over the next quarter, which if we win, even one of them, it will have a material impact on our revenues. So and feeling good where we stand.
And if I look at, your comment on the quality of the deals being much better than what you have in the past, the margin commentary would obviously imply then that we should at least go at 100, 150 basis point in FY17 versus, say, FY16.
So I think the margin expansion will be a function of where I end up on my growth, Priya, because if my growth rates get more aggressive based on what we're seeing, there will be elements of cost of growth and time to stabilize transition, which will obviously have an impact on margins, but then start playing out. And the second element is I do have operating leverages because we've been, largely, flat over the last 2 years. While it looks flat, we have actually grown by, 3.5 to 4% in our international business, and then the domestic business is what has dragged our growth rates down. So between a combination of my operating leverages and absorbing cost of growth going forward, the bias is definitely upwards. Now, whether that's going to be 100, 150 basis points, I think it's still too early for me to comment on it, but I can tell you that we're feeling good about where we see our margins over the next year or so.
Sure, and this is the last question from my side, and then I'll come for follow-on. The ISGN deal, you expect to close by when? And, for FY17, what could be the time frame which one could look at, in terms of it being in our financials?
Yeah, so ISGN, we expect to close sometime this month. So majority of the license requirements have come through. There are still a few states which are in the pipeline which should get done. So we definitely see by end of May the deal should close or could happen within the next week, take us to the end of the month in any case. So that is on ISGN. Earlier my commentary was that, ISGN is a, $25 to $27 million revenue asset. And I was cautious in my commentary on the profitability, given the fact we just signed the definitive agreements. and it was going to be an EPS accretive deal. But I think at this point in time, over the last, 3-4 months, we have started operating the asset, we fundamentally believe there will be upsides on profitability. The turnaround, it was a negative $3.5 million EBITDA business last year, but it's going to have positive surprises this year. It's something we clearly see. I don't want to put a number to it as of yet because post closing is when we will get our hand really down deep dirty in terms of how we see the asset playing out. But what's the good thing which is happening on the sales side is a lot of our capabilities are now getting sold into the customer base of ISGN. We have already started scaling some of their existing customers in our centers in Colorado Springs. The integration is working very well. The core management team that we sought to retain has stayed. And clients are definitely showing a path of scaling, but it takes time to scale in that business given the level of domain and training that needs to get imparted into the supply chain. but it will have positive surprises in FY17 compared to the cautious commentary I had articulated at the end of our Q3 results.
Sure, that's helpful. And suffice to say that healthcare remains one of the largest contributors to our pipeline, right?
Healthcare, to be very honest, the seeing big build-up in the banking pipeline in the UK, and healthcare continues to be robust, but from a size and scale perspective, it would be banking in the UK market.
It's banking in the UK market, right? And
that's right.
Not banking across all the geographies, right?
I'm sorry?
It's banking in the UK market and not banking across all the geographies, right?
No, it's banking in the UK market. IAGN is a small asset. So, you know, obviously, you know, that pipeline is looking good. But from a percentage perspective, it's grown. It's grown significantly. But, you know, from a number perspective, it's a small base effect. And as I said, collections is the other footprint we have in North America. And there, the financial services pipeline is stable. Liquidation rates will improve with lower unemployment rates, but the growth there is going to come from the Department of Education.
Okay, that's helpful. Maybe I'll come out for a follow-on question later.
Sure.
Thank you. Anyone who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ruchi Gurte from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations to the management for good execution. Rajesh, I want to ask a bit macro level questions. Over last 1.5-2 years, we have seen Western enterprises engaging more into or exploring more digital technology explore newer ways to engage with their customer, and which in turn implies changes in the way customer servicing is done. So could you share your thoughts over maybe 1.5-2 years, what kind of changes has happened in the nature of demand, and how FirstSource has prepared to address this?
It's a great question. There's a lot of philosophy and it's a pretty large explanation, so I'll try and be as succinct as possible. You're absolutely right. In big parts of a business, the key imperatives today are how do I drive a higher level of revenues and lower churn for my customers, yet delivering a lower cost per transaction. And to deliver a lower cost per transaction, what is key to handle the principle to KRAs of driving revenues and improving NPS is a clear segmentation strategy driven by analytics, which then enables the companies to create strategies to figure out how they move their customers across the various channels of interactions that they undertake with. So at the forefront of all our productized efforts over the last 2 years, be it FCI, First Customer Insight, where the journey begins in predicting customer journeys, in creating a repository of customer journeys across product lines, across verticals, across geographies, which when attacked with analytics that predicts which way those journeys will play themselves out, creates the engagement of our employees with our customer's customer in helping them drive a higher level of sales or helping reducing churn. So moving the customers from the most expensive channel to a self-help channel and leveraging the entire the digital frameworks available across mediums in this omni-channel framework, making sure the right skill is deployed to handle the right segment of customers to drive the right, maximize the right revenue profile is something we have invested over the last couple of years, and that today is helping me win deals. Today, I don't win deals on price or my service offerings are not plain vanilla. So today, how we represent ourselves is in the outcomes we can drive and how we can help take a part of those outcomes that we drive for our customers. And that definitely is helping us in building a quality pipeline, which is what I meant. The quality of a pipeline is a lot healthier right now than what we've seen in the past. And we fundamentally believe that over the next 3 to 5 years, a combination of robotic process automation with effective workflow and using omni-channel frameworks embedded with analytics in ensuring that there is a reduction in cost per contact is the holy grail of how we want to manage our business across the segments we work in. And that's where today I don't have a basis of saying what will be the non-linearity in my margin growth over the next 3 years compared to the revenue growth, because to drive the same level of revenues, I will need fewer people. But we are placed well, and it's not theory anymore. We're winning deals. So it becomes clearly demonstrable expertise that clients are now signing up to our franchise in going through this. So that's a quick answer, but I'm happy to spend some time with you when I'm in Bombay next or you're in Bangalore, and I can explain to you how we see the world playing out.
Thank you. That's helpful, and look forward to see you. Now, my second question is, you spoke about or touched upon headwind in domestic business. Could you share more thoughts now, maybe as to timeline when these contracts are coming to renegotiate, understand when we can expect that headwind? Is it coming, very near future, or you have some time?
I think the headwinds, to be very honest, is a quarter-on-quarter phenomena for us. It's not there is unpredictability in our clients' business. The telecom business is going to see some disruption with Jio coming in. The banking business, we have one client in banking, which I guess in the course of over the next 4 or 5 months, we will see it go away. Could have another $1.5 million impact on our domestic business. So to tell you the truth, the way to win in the domestic business is to go leapfrog and go with the value-added services. But unfortunately, clients are not willing to pay, so you don't want to get into that space given the return on time and return on investments are not aligned. So as I said, at some point in time with all the analysts and fund manager, I intend to represent the quality of earnings that we get from our international business and how it looks, and then clearly divorce that with the domestic portfolio that we have, where we are trying to harvest it for value.
Okay. And also, if you could share, our top client contract renewal has been in process throughout FY16. So any update there would be helpful.
Yeah, I think we made significant progress. As I said, it's proceeding in the right direction. Given it is a material contract, whatever outcome we drive from that, we will definitely speak to you. At this point in time, from the last time I spoke, obviously the developments have really stepped to the next level, and it is in the right direction.
And one last question on accounting front. We see this quarter lower depreciation. So could you throw some light what has led to that, and how this line item would move going ahead?
Because the depreciation were lower in the region. Some of the centers which were capitalized 4 or 5 years before has been depreciated fully. And I think going forward, as you can see, that a lot more investment we did in the last 2 quarters. So I think depreciation charge will come back to the, I think, Q2 or Q3 number by next year, Q2.
Hello?
Hello? Are you able to hear me?
I missed you.
Some of the center where the depreciation period is got over for those assets, so that's the reason charge is lower. Mm-hmm. But as we have invested in last 2 quarters on the new additions to the asset, the depreciation charge will come back to the similar numbers from the Q2 onwards next year.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please press star and one if you would like to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sanjeev Vota from Sharekhan. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I want to, going back to the same question of what is the guidance we stand on the quantitative term for FY17? Last quarter, we have mentioned about at least $550 million in revenue and without ISGN. And margins upward of 13%. So where do you stand now for FY17?
I think one update is we did have a setback with our largest client. With one of the U.S. telco client. My apologies to the Freudian slip, which is going to ramp down. But at this point in time, given the deals that we've won in Q4 and what we expect to convert over the next quarter or so, we definitely believe that, you know, some of the best growth rates, you know, this company is going to see is going to be in FY17.
I just want to know, what has changed in the last 3-4 months? Are we seeing more headwinds in the environment? That's why we're not able to put any numbers on our margins or revenue front. Are we expecting there could be some kind of headwinds that we may see going forward?
No, it's not that we're not able to, but as I said, the rate of growth, the margin profile is a function of growth. If I'm at the lower end of the growth, my margin profile looks better because of the catch-up of the operating leverage of the last year based on the investments we've made, which starts paying off. And with some of the deals that I'm talking about, Fructify, the margin profile will be at the lower end given the cost of growth and the requirement of the investments that will be required in stabilizing and ramping these growth outcomes. So that's why at this point in time, and coupled with the fact that the IAGN deal hasn't closed yet, you know, we take full control of the asset from an operating perspective, hopefully from June onwards. I think I'll be in a better position to provide you some inputs within ranges, hopefully in the next quarter. But all I can say is it's looking extremely positive on both fronts.
And what is the TCV win for the quarter?
We normally don't guide on what our TCV wins are, but yes.
Last quarter you have mentioned about $7 million win.
Yeah, this quarter has been about $23 million. So if we've given you a number of $7 million last quarter, I think it's my responsibility to make good on this quarter. Yes. $23 million was our wins this quarter.
And out of this deal pipeline of $370 million, you have said that it remains static. So how much week is the deal pipeline we are having from the value-added or the digital analyticals pipeline that we are in the pipeline of $370 million?
It's not that I'm selling onions to somebody and potatoes to somebody else. It's every deal has got a combination of value-added services. The only way I can defend my price and increase my margins to driving outcomes is ensuring that value-added services are embedded as a part of the deal. So I hope that clarifies. It's not that I'm selling individual, service lines saying, okay, do you all sell a commodity? Do you all sell a value-added services? Do you all sell you something in between? It doesn't work like that.
But what is the reason for the deal pipeline even static from last two quarters? What is the reason for that?
The reason for that is that there are deals which have been qualified out and there have been deals which are qualified in.
Okay. And last one bookkeeping question. What is the tax rate we can assume for FY17?
I think the last quarter I did indicated 13-14%. I think we'll continue with the same guidance.
13-14%.
That's
all for my sense. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Archit Singhal from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So a couple of questions from my end. Firstly, on the U.S. telco client, I just wanted to understand what happened and was it only for this quarter?
Sorry, we missed your question. We just went into a static zone for a second. Can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah. So the first question was on the U.S. telco client, which you said is ramping down. So what was the impact seen in this quarter?
The impact will be seen in Q1. We saw some impact in March, but most of the impact we would see in April and May.
Okay.
And the reason is, the volume today. So we were a new vendor brought into their existing network of 20-plus vendors, and that was on the assumption of, some of their marketing plans and growth, and a lot of it didn't materialize, so they were subscale with many vendors, and once you're subscale with many vendors, what happens is your rate goes up because your volume the price and volume, you know, the pricing is also a function of volume. So they basically, you know, took out the new incumbents that came in and increased their footprint with their longer tenured partners. So that's what happened.
Any numbers? Like you said, the impact will be in April, May. What kind of impact are we looking at?
The impact will be closer to about $17 to $18 million in FY17, which will get absorbed, and that's my other statement to you.
Okay, so just one question here. Last time when you had guided this USD $550 million number for FY17, obviously by that time we did not have this impact of US telco. So does that mean if everything remains same, the revenue would go down?
Yeah, everything remains the same. The revenue will go down by $17 million, but basis on what we have won in Q4, there will be a catch-up.
Okay.
It might not be the entire catch-up, but with some of the deals I have in the pipeline where it's come to a decision point over the next quarter,
mm-hmm.
it can reverse into a different. That's why, yeah. So that's my commentary. Overall, it is looking positive, and we will absorb this loss and move forward and look good.
Okay. And, sir, second question was on the domestic business. You mentioned some 200 basis point reduction. I did not get that point.
Yeah, so basically the last year between FY15 and 16, $4.5 million was ratcheted down in my domestic business, which if it hadn't happened would have improved my growth by 200 basis points.
Okay, so this was for FY16.
Yeah, that's right, FY16.
Okay, perfect. And sir, lastly, I mean, I know you are not giving any numbers, but what is the sense after a good fourth quarter? Like you said, 50 to 70 basis point improvement in margins, but again, it's a factor of growth. So are we seeing there can be any upside surprises?
I think I'd like to stay within the guidance range. I think, as I said, given the number of imponderables, good imponderables that we're dealing with, I don't want to move my commentary beyond what's out there already.
And this deal, we are expecting it to be EPS accretive, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot. That's it from mine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind our participants, you may press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dimple Kota from SVS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congrats on the good set of numbers. Sir, I missed on the initial commentary. Would like to know what are the guidelines for FY17 and Q1 particularly?
Yeah, as I said, Dimple, just to repeat myself, FY17 is looking good. We are in a good place. Between the exit of Q4, absorbing the US telco loss and some of the deals we won in Q4 and the integration of ISGN and some of my deal pipelines, we have never been in a better place to demonstrate growth. Q1 will be clearly evident, and Q1 on a year-on-year basis, we definitely are looking good, to at least a very high single-digit growth rate between Q1 FY16 and Q1 FY17.
Hello.
Yeah, will that answer your question?
Yes, sir. So I missed on the growth rate, sir. There's some connectivity issue.
Yeah, so as I said, we will demonstrate growth in Q1 of FY17 over Q1 of FY16, and the current trajectory and expectations that we have and that we see based on, we're in the middle of May right now, would be a high single-digit number.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Jhunjhunwala from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Vas. What is the early guidance you're saying? Earlier, what kind of growth are you seeing?
Sir, growth rates will be industry leading, sir.
What is the industry leading? I have not read the NASCOM report.
10 to 12%, sir.
And margin, you're saying 50 basis point improvement over the fourth quarter?
No, sir. It'll be 50 to 70 basis point, because fourth quarter is seasonally our strongest quarter.
Right.
Because we have collection seasonality here, but normalized for that, on a year-on-year basis to support the growth, the margin guidance which you've given will be on a year-on-year basis.
Okay. Okay. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Priya Rohira from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to seek one clarification. The net margin improvement which we are looking for FY17 is around 50 to 70 bips, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Shindarkar from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to clarify about the US telco related revenues weakness. So is this the same account where, you know, initially we thought of a 35 million ACV and expected a full ramp up in 16, but I guess the ramp ups were a little lower by $10-12 million, and then again we are saying that the second ramp-ups in 17 could be lower by another 15 million. Is this the same account are we talking, or is this a different account that we are saying?
No, it's the same account, Vishak. And if you take a look at the presentation, you will see that it just demonstrates what you have articulated. 2% of our growth came in lower in FY16 because the US telco didn't ramp to the expectations of where it was supposed to have been. 2% from the domestic business and 2% is the growth we showed. So that adds up to that 6%. And that is the client which will ramp down because of the reason that I explained to an earlier question by Q1 of FY17. And despite that ramp down, we will absorb that loss and get on with growth.
Okay, and when we initially signed it, it was a 35 or 36 million ACV, right? So still that number continues to hold, right?
No, 35, 36 is what has translated into a 20 million number last year.
Okay.
So that 20 million number, based on the timing of the ramp down, will result in an $18 million loss for this year. So that the 36 million doesn't exist now.
Okay, so 20 million in 16 would be lower by around 18 million in 17.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for taking my question. Best of luck for 17.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sanjeev Hota from Sharekhan. Please go ahead.
One clarification only. You have given the guidance of 10 to 12% ahead of 10 to 12% growth in FY17, including ISGN.
At this point, yes.
10 to 12% including ISGN. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ajit Singhal from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Just one question. Can you give the guidance excluding ISGN?
Yeah, guys, just stick to the numbers we have given. I don't want to slice and dice the cat. As I said, I have three or four events, which we are playing out, all positive. So I think at this point in time, the guidance and the outlook we have given, try and work on that, please.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all our participants, you may press star and one if you would like to ask a question at this time. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the floor over to Mr. Rajesh Subramaniam for closing comments.
Thank you. Thanks all. Thanks for your time today. Q4 has been a definitive quarter. It's been a catch-up of everything that we have tried to demonstrate over last year, but it has finally come through. Feeling very positive about FY17. We're in a very good place with our largest customer. And I look forward to speaking to all of you through the quarter if you have any specific questions that could be directed to Ganesh, Dinesh, or me. And then definitely when we come out of the next quarter's results. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate it. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Verso Solutions Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.